College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride It Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon and welcome to Ride It Home with Rich. Yes, again, I'm your host, Rich Orris, and thanks for tuning in with me today. You know, I have a ton of information for everybody today, starting off with some winter trends, some kitchen design trends, some hardwood flooring trends. I've got some great mudroom ideas we can go over with everybody, but don't forget, this is all about you, all about your home improvement questions. What is happening in your home? My primary goal today and every Saturday is to help you, the listener, with your issues, thoughts, questions, anything going on around your house, but only for the next hour. So do not hesitate. You can reach me at 314-241-9797 right now or 866-455-9797. Also, as always, every week, halfway through the show, I'll have my Ride at Home hack. So today, why should you remove your garden hose even if you have a frost-free spigot on your house? So don't go anywhere because there's going to be a lot of learning, lot of info in today's hack about that and getting down to how it works and the why. But again, I'm here every Saturday to help you with all your questions, issues, concerns, or any general remodeling questions you may have about your home. The lines are open right now, 314-241-9797, or again, 866-455-9797. And today I really wanted to start out with something that we see a lot more, you know, this time of year going on with vaulted ceilings, you know, in people's homes. So, you know, you see like the mold up top near the peak of the ceiling or kind of near the peak and the outside, you know, exterior wall of a vaulted ceiling area. And, you know, looking at how a lot of these vaulted ceilings were built and constructed in an older home, it really didn't leave great possibilities for good, you know, ventilation, attic ventilation. You want air moving around. It helps the life expectancies of the shingles. It does all these things for the home. So, you know, looking at how that system comes together and, you know, when everybody calls in, they're like, oh, I think I got a roof leak. You know, I've got this thing going on. And the one I just saw lately was, you know, a tree fell on the house about 8 years ago. They got a new roof at that time, got everything fixed, but then thought, oh, wow, you know, so maybe there's, you know, some leaking going on or something from the ridge vent or something, you know, up there. Well, looking at the house, really taking some time to examine how it's built, how it all works, improper ventilation is a big part of what happens in these vaulted ceiling issues. If you can imagine, your roof is only so thick when it's just a straight. So this particular house had a 2x6 as the roof rafter. So you've got 5.5 inches between the backside of your drywall and the backside of your roof sheeting for insulation, which, you know, standard like a wall kind of thickness R19 insulation. Well, in attic situations, you're really looking for between an R38 and an R49 insulation value in our St. Louis area. So how this thing works and everything, and the homeowner's explaining like, yeah, they did put these baffles so the air could move and all this, and then they got this ridge vent on top. Well, when you go to the outside of the house, there's absolutely no intake ventilation whatsoever down low. There's nowhere for air to get. So when you have the ridge vent on the peak, all your air is trying to escape, trying to get out. Your hot air is rising from the house. Everything's going up. Air is trying to escape. It has nowhere to get air from. You know, where does the new air come from? Well, it comes from around your light fixtures, the ceiling fan, anywhere that it can try and steal that air is where it ends up coming from. So they had a lot of ghosting, what we call ghosting on that ceiling, where you get these dark spots, lines. You can literally see right where all the ceiling joists are in that entire room. Well, you've got this air trying to get out, and it's filtering and it's pulling from anywhere it can, just creating an imbalance inside the home of how your air, negative pressure, stuff like that. So really just creates this thing. So they don't have a roof leak. You know, it's basically cold air from the outside, hot air from the inside. They get condensation. The dampness has probably weakened the insulation in that area, making it happen even more and more again over years. So, you know, common fix, cut out the bad area, get rid of the mold from the backside of the drywall, fix that, any insulation problem you can, get it all back together and fix it up, and, you know, buy yourself the same amount of like those 8 years or whatever it took for that to develop. The true fix of really the best thing to do, gaining ventilation, getting the ventilation, working up that roof line, you know, right below the roof sheeting, through those baffles and everything. You're taking apart your outside soffits. You got all this job to do. You're taking down all of the drywall so that you can get to all of that insulation. So imagine stripping the whole drywall ceiling. Then you can go to a spray foam insulation value. It'll have some more R value, but the real secret is air infiltration. It won't let the cold air infiltrate around it. Put this whole system back together. You've now gained your ventilation. You've now gained a little bit better R value. You've gained, you know, everything new. You've got air infiltration stopped, but you still don't have that R38 or better, you know, type of insulation value. So it doesn't mean when hot air goes up to the top there that, you know, it's gonna stop it every single time. If it gets cold enough outside and you don't have that R value separating those temperatures, it can only work so hard. It can still happen again. It just might happen less often. But, you know, this is a huge project to endure to try and get through, you know, some of this. So why is this all so important? You know, is really when we think about training our people, understanding, knowledge, all the important stuff of what the homes are made of. It's really about just getting great information and educating people so that we can really have a good understanding of what's happening. Then you could choose, do I want to get into a crazy big job like that and really correct this? Am I here for 5 more years or 10 more years or 20 more years? You know, what's happening? You can pick between those projects. You can know and understand what's going to happen. So now, you know, I might just have to paint my ceiling more often, every 5 years, every 10 years, you know, where in a lot of houses, you don't have to paint quite that often because things like that aren't going on. But we can help you. We can get you there. We can get you this kind of information so you can do what's best for you, your home, your family, safety, concerns, everything about it. It's what we do. So we're going to get into our first break here, but I do invite anybody, if you want to find out about us, check out callmosby.com. If you want us to look at something, you can just call in 314-909-1800 and get us out there and get us looking at what you want done. So we're going to take that break. We'll take your calls and a lot more information when we return. All right, welcome back. And, you know, so far today, we are running over just figuring out what's going on with the house for real. You know, not just being what we call a order taker or an, you know, applicator or, you know, something like that. So when you look at getting work done on your house, when you look at how things get installed, and having a trained person that has a kind of a holistic approach over everything, that understands more than one system. You know, a lot of roofing, we're talking about shingle applicators. They understand how to lay down shingles. They've been told, you know what, your ridge vent is the best way to ventilate in attic space. Well, it's the best way to exhaust it, but if you don't have that intake air, it's not going to work properly. If you have other vents that haven't been removed, it might malfunction and kind of short circuit how that whole system works. We see a lot of that. And also, you know, siding applicators, they understand how to hang siding. They understand how to put it on to make it stay, to make it look good, but they may not understand that ventilation process. They may not understand that water infiltration and flashing and the whole system to keep the house dry. You know, knowing and understanding all of that, there's a big difference in my mind between, you know, schooling, training, and on-site, on-hand learning. You know, on-site, on-hand learning is great. And I'm tell you, it's what I did. You know, when I started out and I was first doing this, I was 18, 19 years old. You know, I was working with my father. I learned everything I knew about painting, apartment maintenance, fixing things piece by piece from a guy named Charlie. Went to Baldwin Siding and Construction. Learned everything more from Dwayne. Worked with him for a number of years. Went to Hitch Contracting, learned from a guy named Gary. He was the foreman, and, you know, learned a lot about trim and installing trim better and different ways. I worked with a friend of mine named Joel. When I got to that point, I was the person doing that training, understanding, you know, telling people the best way to do things and stuff. And I thought I knew a lot, you know, and a lot of owners of these companies think, you know, age means smarter experience. It means better, all of this stuff. Well, it if you haven't been through enough of it, it does not necessarily mean that. So I come to Mosby after all of that, and I start actually going to training things, formal training, schooling, seminars, you know, learning about what you think you already know. Sometimes you just start to find things out. You're like, holy cow, that's, oh, wow. You find out you might have not, something you've been doing was standard, but not the best practice out there. There's newer, there's better ways to do this stuff. So, you know, even Mosby as a company looks at, you know, we're in groups. We look at the industry and look at how we run the company holistically. We're in groups called Prime, the Big Dogs, the Harvard Industries Group, learning all sorts of things about our industry and about what other companies are doing and you know, what's going on. It just makes everything more successful. Just because you're doing something that's successful, and just because you're doing something that you've had a lot of success with, doesn't mean it's the best way anymore. You know, years ago, I was doing some training at Mosby, and we were going over some ways to frame and stuff. And one of the guys, Tom, had said, you know, he's like, I learned everything from my uncle. He was the best. I know everything about this. And I'm like, you know what? I said, Tom, I thought I knew all this stuff too. And then when I went through a lot of this training, I started learning that there's better ways. There's different ways to do things. And we had a framing job. He is something he had just never learned. And once we taught him, he was like, oh, wow, there is different ways of doing things. And there are different, you know, really open these people's eyes. So, you know, it's just looking at the importance of getting it right, doing it right, and really getting through everything. So for myself, you know, a lot of the training I've been through over 30 years of experience, five-star certified in roofing, siding, and moisture, Energy Star certified. I've been trained by the Building Performance Institute. I'm a lead safe work practice certified renovator. When I got that certification, I wasn't even working in the field anymore. I don't need that certification because I do the work. I need that certification because I need to understand what's going on during that work and what it really takes so that I can educate other people. So I'm also a master shingle applicator. When you look at Mosby, the company, you know, being in the National Association of Home Builders, certified graduate remodeler, certified graduate builder, you know, all the building practices, the things that we learn about, train about, know, understand is really what develops all of this great things for all of our companies. So again, I invite anybody, if you have something going on, if you have any questions, if you just, maybe you're getting ready to do something, you think, well, you know, let's maybe ask this or that because I've read about it, but I'm just not sure. There's a lot of info on the internet that can be misleading or maybe isn't for our area right here. You know, you see something, you think, oh, that looks great, but, you know, it really might work better in a warmer climate where the ground doesn't freeze, you know, so deep or, you know, different things like that. There's a lot to all these things. So, again, I invite everybody to feel free, you know, give us a call. You can call in today, 314-241-9797. Any questions you got, I'm right here for you. You can check out Mosby's website at callmosby.com, callmosby.com, or simply call into the office, make an appointment to have us come out and see what you're doing, see what you'd like to do to your house, and we can educate you, let you know what you're up against, help you make good educated decisions. 314-909-1800 is that phone number there. So, and speaking of, you know, what we do and how we do it, you know, we just had one of our designers, you know, in Ladue News magazine talking about, you know, it was their design digest segment that, you know, talking about kitchens, talking about designs and stuff. And, you know, we have all the same things, like I was just talking about for the field and everything. We have all that same stuff from the first design, the first person you meet all the way through. So many of our designers are CAP certified, aging in place specialists, kitchen design. I mean, they have education in all of these areas, and they continue to educate and keep up and go to things and learn and really know and understand, you know, what's going on in the homes, in the industries. And again, kind of like that, you know, you're looking for advice from issues, from problems, from how does my house work, home, breathe. Well, we got that design advice too, the same way. What makes it function the best? You know, when you think about designing today and you're looking at your kitchen, well, everything's changing with people being home, with homeschooling and videos and all this different stuff. Things are changing. And, you know, we can help look at ways to make those areas be able to be closed off at times, but then open at other times. So we can do a lot of that stuff for you, and we absolutely love it. It's what we do. So we are going to get into our middle break here. When we come back, I'll have my right at home hack. Again, you're not going to want to miss about the hose spigot, how they work, why you should get your hoses off of those spigots. So we'll be back in just a minute, and I'll have all of that and more for you when we return.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, you heard him. Right at Home Hack. So I know everybody's been waiting for this one today, but you know, if you own a home, then most likely you've got at least one outdoor spigot on your house. And even if you have what they call the frost-free spigot, you still need to remove that hose in the winter and, you know, keep those pipes from freezing and bursting. So, and to understand, you know, the, kind of the why, we need to understand how a frost-free faucet really works. So when you shut off a frost-free faucet, the water stops behind the valve the shutoff's further back inside the pipe, sometimes about 8 to 12 inches inside the home. So this means the water won't freeze because it stays on the interior air temperature where the home is warmer further into the basement area. So why should you remove the hose then? Well, when you don't take the hose off, then it will not let that area of the pipe drain the water out that's in front of that shutoff, between the shutoff and the actual hose. So that will stay full of water. And if it's installed correctly, they tip that spigot towards the outside, so it actually drains out. So when you take the hose off, a little bit of water should actually run out of there. So if the water stays in a pipe and it freezes, ice takes up approximately 10% more space than the same amount of liquid water does. So unfortunately, there's no room in a copper pipe for expansion, so the pipe splits. So what happens when that pipe splits? Well, on a frost-free spigot, when it splits, you really don't know that it happened, because once it starts to thaw, it's not a whole lot of water. You're talking about 8 or 12 inches of pipe, and the water shut off before that. So sounds like a good thing until spring, when you go outside the first time, you're using your spigot, you're washing your car, you have no idea, water is spraying all inside your basement or your crawl space, or you know, an area like that, you don't want water. So next question, what should you do on the interior of the home once you have this frost-free spigot? So especially if you're going to have a finished area. So what you want to do is you want to fill any voids around the spigot with some spray foam to stop any air infiltration around it. Insulate the band board. Make sure you've got that on there. You can spray foam the whole band board area, or you can use fiberglass bat to hold the temperature difference between the outside and where the shutoff is. Now, that allows conditioned air from the basement around the rest of the pipe, keeps everything warm. So if you finish your basement, what you'll want to do is make an access panel in the area of that spigot. And I would suggest doing it out of a vent cover, where kind of like a cold air return cover. So it'll let some conditioned air up into that floor area around that pipe to keep it warm. Because if you do get any air infiltration around the insulation, it's going to stay very cold above that ceiling if you don't have any air moving around it. So you can find all this information and more at hunker.com or on any of my social media pages. For Facebook, look up Rich Orris Mosby, and or at Twitter at Rich Orris. You can find all this information later in the week and every week from all of my hacks. So I'm going to let Facebook go here, and we're going to get back to the regular programming on the show. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call today, 314-241-9797 and or 866-455-9797 from far away. So I want to get back into, you know, some of this design stuff we've been going over about with kitchens, with, you know, all these different designs that we do in house. And I saw a really interesting article about, you know, winter design trends. It was really struck me kind of cool, because, you know, it's kind of talking about, you know, 2020's over, but, you know, we're still in the gloomiest season here. It's winter. The days are short. The nights are long. We're still stuck in our home because of the pandemic. So we're not out as much. We're not seeing people as much. So this article from, you know, realtor.com, they actually polled a bunch of pros, talking about, you know, what was some of the hottest winter design trends that they know about and, you know, see happening and everything all the time. And, you know, it was really cool because there was one I hadn't really heard a lot about myself that I found really interesting, called the Grand Millennial Style. So, you know, it's kind of like what's old is new again. And, you know, it pulls from some classic designs It leans towards antiques, busy patterns, ruffles, and they've seen a rise in this, you know, fashion over 2020. And as people are looking for some traditional styles, this style really offers, you know, a lot of comfort. They talked about how much comfort you get out of a style like this, and that's why a lot of people are going towards that, because you've been in your home so much, you really want to be comfortable, and you'll want to have something that you can really, you know, make you want to be around there. So I think it's a really interesting thing. If you haven't heard about it, I would do some research, look it up, and, you know, see what some of these kind of eclectic styles are. They're kind of really cool and really neat. But so I want to get to the phone. We got Bob on the line here, has a question for us. So let's get him out of the way here. Bob, are you with us?
Oh, you want to get me out of the way? No, I'm having fun with
you. Yeah.
Hey, quick question for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you were talking about the crawl space water line.
Uh-huh.
And since mine's already popped, at the valve, and it's a crawl space, and not a crawl space I'm ever going to get me in, trust me. My question is, if I was to take the solder joint inside the house and desolder it, and then connect up a piece of PEX line and pull that through the 15 feet or so to the outside, how good does PEX deal with the cold? And one other question, and then you can answer me. What is PEX like when there might be critters around it?
Ah, now that is an interesting question on that one. So as far as for the cold, you know, I actually have a job right now where we're putting a laundry room on the second floor of the house, and uh-huh. a lot of the pipes are going to be in an attic kind of area, and we're going to do a lot to insulate them properly and everything, but we are going to use PEX in that area, because just in case something happens, the PEX pipe won't keep it from absolutely breaking, but it will expand more than copper. It has some expansion, so they can't guarantee it won't break or it won't split. If it freezes hard enough, long enough, and it needs right. all that expansion, it will just do it less often than copper. So your chances, you know, you're just, it's all about the numbers game. Your chances are better that it won't freeze, but it doesn't mean that it won't, there, that it won't expand enough. So it still could break with PEX. So I would still, you know, really look at, in a crawl space, you want to insulate the perimeter of that crawl space, band board and everything, really well with like isonene spray foam. And that will stop a lot of air infiltration, and it will keep the cold out of that space way better. And honestly, I would feel better with the isonene insulation and copper in there than I would PEX in there without it, without doing something to make sure you keep that area, you know, warm and sort of conditioned. Because you'll have some ductwork in that crawl space, so it's going to leak.
And right.
So it's going to put a little bit of conditioning in there. So
it also has outside vents that have to vent out the crawl space.
So those outside vents in today's world, you ventilate a crawl space towards the unfinished basement or the unfinished portion of the rest of the house, and you no longer use those outside vents. You don't want them in there anymore. So those to really insulate properly, you're going to want to close off those vents, insulate those vents, insulate the band board, and let the conditioned air kind of leak from the ductwork a little bit, and leave an opening to the basement of the home so that the air from the basement to that crawl space can exchange and breathe a little bit. And that'll stop that pipe from refreezing I would, if it were mine, I'd focus on that over,
okay,
you know, looking at the PEX pipe, because the PEX pipe still can't break.
I can't get to that pipe.
Oh.
I don't think many guys would want to crawl in there and get to that pipe. It runs underneath the added-on family room. And this was, I acquired this situation in life, not made it.
Yep, and like older systems, that's kind of what happens is, you know, that crawl space was designed for a system from years back, and a lot of people still want to do that, but there's way better ways to do those crawl space. And yes, it's easier to do when you're building. It's harder to do retrofitting. You know, like anything, it's just harder to do that way. So, yeah, I would, you know, the PEX is great for what you're trying to get the water and all that there, because it'll be easier to manage in a small area too. But other than that, I'd see if there's a way to insulate that thing and stop all that from happening.
Well, my other solution is there's a deck next to the addition, and I can run underneath the deck, and if it breaks, then I just... That's get toable, if you understand what I'm saying. It's
not
high in the air. I mean, but I've got access underneath there.
Yeah. So hey, I appreciate the call, Bob. I got to get to my break. Thanks for calling in. I got Greg on the line has a question for us. So Greg, if you can hold the line through this break, I'll get to you immediately when we return. So we'll hear these messages and be right back. All right, we are back. Last segment of Ride at Home with Rich, my favorite hour of the week. And speaking all about helping people out, we have Greg and Max on the line. So let's get Greg on the line. Has a question about a Wi-Fi thermostat. Hey, Greg, are you there?
Hey, Greg, sir. Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
How are you? Not bad. My problem is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this thermostat. It's Honeywell T9 Wi-Fi thermostat.
Uh-huh.
And what I did is I went and bought it, and I, you know, took the old thermostat off, which was just a programmable one. And, you know, you have the basic four wires, the red, the green, the yellow, the white. So I hooked them up to the new one. But I noticed on the back of my old thermostat where the red is, there's a red, and there's an R, and then an R, I think U or R something. There's a jumper that I have on there, a brass jumper from both of those slots where you just hooked a red wire to the red.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, my new one doesn't have a place where I put a jumper in there, so I'm not sure what to do, because I tried hooking it up without a jumper, and the screen did not turn on at all. I had no power source there. And the T9 junction box only has it where you plug one wire into each slot. It doesn't have where you put a jumper in there. So I wasn't sure what my problem is, why it won't turn on. If I actually need a jumper in there where I connect both the R and the R, I think U it is, and then just hook the red wire to both of them, if that would give me power, or am I doing something wrong?
Yeah, a lot of these thermostats are all a little bit different. And there's like an RC wire and a C wire that some of these Wi-Fi thermostats need like more wire there to make them work. I am not super familiar with that Honeywell. We've done some of the Nest and things like that.
Right.
But I would say you're definitely going to need some research or get to an HVAC professional to say they may need to run a wire from the furnace to that area. The jumper may not work on that.
Right, yeah. So, that's what I'm trying to think. Most likely what I'm going to have to do is, because I know it talks about on the junction box for the new one, there's a switch where it goes up and down if you have, you know, two wires or one wire. So I hooked it up the way it says with one wire, and it doesn't turn on. But I can hear the furnace running, but I don't have no display.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking possibly the blue wire that is always extra that you always have on there for a single that most people don't need. I'm thinking that I may have to hook that up down in the basement on the furnace and then bring it upstairs and plug it in because that might be an extra power source for the screen, but I'm not really sure if I should do that because I don't want to damage the furnace by, you know, trying to do it myself.
Yep, and this is where I would definitely say either I would either go towards a thermostat that would work off the wires, try and figure that out, or I'd get to a HVAC professional and say, this is what I've got. You know, what would it take to come make sure this thing's working? Because, you know, then they can be liable for, you know, if they hook something up wrong or, you know, because they'll know. They'll get to that educated person. I wish I could help you more, but we use West County Heating and Cooling. We've been using them for more than 20-something years. Great people. Tom there's awesome. I know they could come out and give you a hand if you don't already have someone you use regularly.
Yeah, I have my friend owns Huff Heating and Air Conditioning, and I guess I can just call him. I thought I'd just, you know, call in. Might be just something simple that I could do, but.
Yep, it's not that simple.
The old days were, you know, just a manual thermostat where you can just, you know, ain't no big deal. But today with electronics, and it's a lot easier to blow things up and cost you a fortune than it was in the old days where, you know, it's pretty much cut.
Yep, absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Greg. Wish I could be a bigger help, but yeah, get to your buddy and get to the professional and they'll be able to guide you.
All right. Well, thank you. A very blessed day.
Hey, no problem. You too. Thanks for the call. And let's get Max. We got a couple minutes left here. So let's get Max on the line and see what he's got going on. Max, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. What's happening?
So, a couple questions on wax rings on toilets. Can those go bad, degrade over time? You know, and then you get that odor in the bathroom. And the second question has to do with, I don't know how to you know, handle copper plumbing, you know, and braze it or whatever. That fitting, like the shark bite, is that a reliable fitting? And then a follow-up question on the toilet, and then I'll listen. Is there an easy way to lift toilets up, you know, and down so that wax ring, so you're actually sure that the wax ring sitting correctly once you set it back in? And thank you for taking my call.
Oh, hey, no problem. Yeah. First thing, the wax ring can go bad over time, and it can, you know, stiffen and harden and come loose and start letting some of that smell out and everything. So yes, they will last a really long time, but it can get to a point where you want to just change them out, reinstall and freshen that up. As far as the setting the wax ring, you really don't want to, you know, pick it up and back down a lot. What you really want to make sure you do is when you set that toilet, you know, base down, you want to make sure you can feel that you kind of have to smash that down a quarter of an inch or so. It'll kind of sit on that wax ring and you'll have to kind of push a little force. If it just hits the floor, then you don't have enough wax ring or your pipe isn't tall enough to cover that. And you want to do something, either move the pipe up or, you know, get a wax ring that's going to be a little thicker and take up that area. And the third thing, the shark bite, stuff like that is, you know, that is pretty good. It's great stuff for homeowners and people that don't know how to do all that. As far as how reliable, it's really hard to tell. I haven't seen a lot of issues with them, but they've only been around so long and only so many people have really been using them. So, you know, whether they have issues, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, I don't really know that, but they seem to work really well and hold really good for what they are right now. And You know, it just depended on where you're using them. I wouldn't be afraid of using them, but you know and understand that the copper soldering, all that stuff will last longer for you. So hey, gotta run. We're out of time. I appreciate all the calls. I appreciate everybody today. And hey, I will look forward to talking to everybody next Saturday. Be good till then. I'll see you.